Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 21, verse 12.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om
Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Krishnang Niriksha Vanitot Savarupa Shilam.
Krishnang Niriksha Vanitot Savarupa
Shilam. Shrutva cha tat kvanita venu vivikta gitam.
Shrutva
cha tat kvanita venu vivikta gitam.
Devyo bimana gataya smaranunna sara.
Debyo mimana gataya smaranunna sara.
Bhrashyat prasuna kavara mumuhur vinivya.
Bhrashyat prasuna kavara mumuhur vinivya.
Krishnam Niriksha Vanitot Savarupa
Shilam.
Shrutva cha tat kvanita venu vivikta gitam.
Devyo bimana gataya smaranunna sara.
Bhrashyat prasuna kabara mumuhur vinivya.
It's John. Ladies.
Thank you.
Krishnam, Lord Krishna, Niriksha, observing, Banita, for all women, Utsava, a festival, Rupa, whose beauty, Shilam, and character, Shrutva, hearing, Cha, and Tat, by him, Kvanita, vibrated, Venu, of the flute, Vivikta, clear, Gitam, song, Debya, the wives of the demigods, Dimanagataya, traveling in their airplanes, Smara, by Cupid, Nunna, agitated, Sara, their hearts, Brashat, slipping, Pasuna Kabara, the flowers tied in their hair, Mumuhu, they became bewildered, Binivya, their belts loosening. Translation. Krishna's beauty and character create a festival for all women. Indeed, when the demigods' wives, flying in airplanes with their husbands, catch sight of him and hear his resonant flute song, their hearts are shaken by Cupid, and they become so bewildered that the flowers fall out of their hair and their belts loosen. Please repeat. Krishna's beauty and character create a festival for all women. Indeed, when the demigods' wives, flying in their airplanes with their husbands, catch sight of him and hear his resonant flute song, their hearts are shaken by Cupid, and they become so bewildered that the flowers fall out of their hair and their belts loosen. Purport. In Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Prabhupada comments, this verse indicates that the transcendental sound of the flute of Krishna extends to all corners of the universe. Also, it is significant that the gopis knew about the different kinds of airplanes flying in the sky. End of Prabhupada's quote. In fact, even while sitting on the laps of their demigod husbands, the demigoddesses became agitated by hearing the sounds of Krishna's flute. Thus, the gopis thought that they themselves should not be blamed for their ecstatic conjugal attraction for Krishna, who, after all, was a cowherd boy from their own village and thus a natural object of their love. If even demigoddesses become mad after Krishna, how could poor earthly cowherd girls from Krishna's own village avoid having their hearts completely conquered by his loving glances and the sounds of his flute? The gopis also considered that the demigods, although noting their wives' attraction to Krishna, did not become envious. The demigods are actually very refined in culture and intelligence, and therefore, when flying in their airplanes, they regularly take their wives along to see Krishna. The gopis thought, our husbands, on the other hand, are envious. Therefore, even the inferior deer are better off than we, and the demigoddesses are also very fortunate, whereas we poor human beings in an intermediate position are most unfortunate. Om Gyanatam Inandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Mukam Kroti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Gidim Jatkripatamaham bande shigurum dinatalanam. I'm going to recite the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Om janmadyasya yaton vaya vitalatascha teshwabhigasarat tene brahma ridhaya dikavaye muyanti yatsuraya tejo bari midam yata vinimayo yatra trisagamsha dhamnasena sadani dastakuhakam satyam param dimahi. O my Lord Shri Krishna, son of Vasudev, O all-pervading personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. I meditate upon Lord Shri Krishna, for he is the absolute truth and the primeval cause of all causes of the creation, sustenance and annihilation of the manifested universe. He is directly and indirectly conscious of all manifestations, and he is independent because there is no other cause beyond him. It is he only who first imparted the Vedic wisdom unto the heart of Brahmaji, the original created living being. By him even great sages and saints are placed into illusion, as one is bewildered by the illusory representations of land seen on water, or water seen in fire. Only because of him do the material universes, temporarily manifested by the interactions of the modes of nature, appear factual, although they are unreal. I therefore meditate upon him, Lord Shri Krishna, who is eternally existent in his own abode, which is forever free of the illusory representations of this material world. I meditate upon him, for he is the absolute truth. Panchakalpa turubhischa kripa sindhubhya vicha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. This verse made me think about lust and love, and always valuable to compare, to understand the difference between lust and love. We say it's love that makes the world go round. Well, if it was really love, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission would be complete. These are two different substances, as gold and iron are two different substances. And when we say, I love someone, loving would be for every creature. We can claim to have love when we know Krishna, and we have love for Krishna, and then knowing that every insect, every plant, or to speak of every creature, human being, is eternally related to Krishna, then we can have love. Love would not happen to be for someone of the opposite gender who happens to be of the appropriate age and bodily form, and would not be disturbed if there's some tiny cause for disturbance. So the love of the gopis is not ordinary love. And Skanda Purana points out, bhaktya hi nityam kamitvam natu muktim bina bhavet. Eternal conjugal attraction to Krishna is expressed in pure devotional, as expressed in pure devotional service, cannot develop in one who is not already liberated. And it comments that lust, this so-called lust, the conjugal attraction for Krishna, it develops, it follows mukti as a manifestation of pure devotional service. And the gopis, Purvam Skanda Purana also, Purvam Jagyana Samyuktas Tatapi Prayashastata. In previous lives, most of the gopis were fully endowed with transcendental knowledge, it says. And it's because of this transcendental knowledge, and not because of the lust, that they were able to attain Krishna. And then the Padma Purana also comments that some of the apsaras, these demigods' wives who were attracted to Krishna, some of them, they're divided. They're not all pure devotees. Some of them are. Sneha Bhakta Sadadeva Kamitvena Apsara Striya. The devas are always affectionately devoted to the Lord. And the apsaras have lusty feelings to him, although some have pure devotion for him, untainted by material lust. So, the conjugal attraction for Krishna is untainted by the modes of material nature. It's a feature of the Satchidananda nature, the original, eternal, ever-existing spiritual nature. And an inquisitive person, like the Brahma Sutra points out, an inquisitive person, an intelligent person, will begin to ask questions, atato brahma jigyasa. It always kind of surprised me that this incredibly all-pervasive, demanding, intense energy of lust, that the world is driven by it, there's no doubt about that. But people don't seem to question, we don't seem to question this drive philosophically. We take it for granted, and then we get on with our business of material life. But the Vedanta Sutra recommends atato brahma jigyasa. Now that we are human beings, one should inquire. One should be inquisitive. To know, because like Rishabdev points out, pungsa striya mituni bhavanetam tayor mito ridaya grantim ahu, that it's not just a kind of a side show, this lust, like a trailer when you go to see the main movie or something like that. It is the fundamental principle of the material world. The attraction between male and female, Purusha and Prakriti, we're trying to imitate, taking the position of one or taking the position of the other. And this attraction, which is present in all species of life, insects, birds, even plants, there's male and female. It's inescapable. It's the Mahashana Mahapatma. Krishna doesn't relegate it to some insignificant position. He says this is the all-devouring, sinful enemy of this world, the attraction. So an intelligent person, it's like a child, when he's asking questions, then you know that he's okay, he's healthy. What's this? What's this? What's this? Constantly. So a human being, when he's asking questions, then you know that he's on the right, he's got the right idea. He's on the right path. So what is this? Now the Mayavadis, they discount pratyaksha, the observation of the senses. So what they say is that the equipment and the opportunity that is available to an individual, this has no more significance. It doesn't, the origin is karma only. They go back to this. Prakriti is the source of this opportunity and equipment. And but the Vaishnavas say that it must go back further. There must be meaning, not only the equipment and opportunity, but the plurality of selves itself. It must have more significance than just being born of Prakriti. They point out, the Vaishnava Acharyas, that This material world is a shadow. Chayeva yasya bhuvanani vibhati durga. Lord Brahma says the same thing. It's a shadow. A shadow has the form, but it doesn't have the qualities of the original. If you have a shadow, there must be an original article. This is what the Mayavadis don't admit, that there is an original object of which this material world is a reflection. And they say, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mitya. This, we get the word myth from Mitya. The universe is false. It's simply false. In this way, they're saved. For this, for Shankaracharya, was a problem, the transformation of Brahma. So by this Vivartavad, by saying that the material world is just a mistake, it's an illusion, you are wrong. Your sense perception doesn't mean anything. You feel that you are a self, distinct from other selves, and you are perceiving objects which are different from you. This is the reality of life. The Mayavadis say that this has no significance whatsoever. It doesn't mean anything. It's simply an illusion. They say that if it doesn't persist, it doesn't exist. But it's simply stupid. It's a perversion of logic to say such a thing. The devotee, the Vaishnavacharyas, say that it's not unreal, but it's temporary. It's not that it doesn't exist, but it only exists temporarily. This human form of life, what's that, Prahlad Dhruvam? Prahlad Maharaj says that although it's temporary, api dhruvam, thank you, tadapi adhruvam artadam. Artadam means that it has great value. Artadam, it gives value. Adhruvam, api adhruvam, api adhruvam. Although it's temporary, it has great value. The Mayavadis, they negate this, they deny this. They don't know anything about Yukta Vairagya. They don't see the warp and weft of material nature. In weaving, you have crosswise and lengthwise threads called the warp and weft. And this warp and weft is substance, sub under stare, in Latin, stand, which stands under. Substance means that substance means res, the Latin is res completa, a fact which is self-determining. Self-determining means it makes up its own mind and takes decisions and is able to explain itself fully. This is res completa, substance. The substance underlying material nature is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He says, I am myself, this cosmic manifestation. It is not different from me. So on this, on the warp and weft, you do an embroidery. And that embroidery, now we observe the embroidery, the appearance may not be reality. But the fact that something exists, we have no reason. Existence is an indication of reality. We have no reason to assume that something which exists is false, which is there before, which is perceived by us, by prachaksha. See, prachaksha is one of the Vedic Pramanas, Pratyaksha Anuman Itihas and Shabda Brahma. And it's not for no, it has its limitations, like this, that appearance may not be reality. It may appear to be one thing, but actually be another thing. But still, an illusion, it has to have, according to Madhvacharya, an illusion. See, the Mayavadis say that illusion is just a superimposition which doesn't actually exist. It is a mistake. Madhvacharya says that illusion, for there to be an illusion, firstly there has to be an adhishtan, a substratum. There has to be an environment for in which that illusion is taking place. And then he says there has to also be a pradhan, or a prototype. If I see water on the horizon from heat rising, and I'm thinking there is water, and I walk through the desert to find it, that means that I've already experienced, everybody knows this, I've already experienced water. Water is the prototype, which has to be the basis of my illusion. So the manifestation of lust, it can hardly have nothing to do with the supreme reality. If it's such a prominent feature of the material world, such a prominent feature, it's everything in the material world. You know, especially when we take up Krishna consciousness, we're declaring war on material energy, so we may become intensely aware of the significance of lust. What a formidable enemy it is, and how lust is really, you know, if there's no lust, then there's no problem, in one sense. If there's no attraction for material energy. So, such a significant feature of material energy. Now, if the material, this is my point, that if, not my point, the point of the Vaishnava Acharyas, if this material nature is a reflection of reality, if it's a shadow, and if lust is such a prominent feature, then lust can hardly have nothing to do or no appearance in the absolute supreme reality. And this verse and this chapter and this canto, they are giving us a description of how full, they're giving us a description of spiritual love and the attraction between the gopis and Krishna, and Krishna and the gopis, that which the material world is a perverted reflection of. It's a perverted reflection. So, because the Mayavadi's way of going about things is so grossly misled, they cannot come to this conclusion. They can never understand Krishna Lila. Their process is called their vyakyan, their interpretation is called Gona Vritti, whereby, because they're so arrogant, because, see, the Mayavadi means that there's no one above him. I am Aham Brahmasmi Tattvamasi. I am the Supreme. There is no entity who is superior to me. So therefore, when they come to Shastra, they take this Gona Vritti, which Gona Vritti means they reserve the fullest right of interpretation, selection, emphasis, criticism, adaption, which is incredible. When you have the Shabda Brahma, which is Praman itself, Shabda Brahma, straight Shabda Brahma, accepted by the Vaishnavas in Mukhya Briti, simple hearing, you just hear it, that's all you have to do. But they, Pantastikoti Shadavatsara Sambhagamya, they go on for births and births and births and births and births, Stula Tusha Vagadvinam, beating empty husk. And by their speculation, they get nowhere, basically. So therefore the Bhagavatam says, Jnane Prayasam Udupasyana Mantam Eva Jivanti San Mukaritam Bhavadata Diya, something like that. Stane Stito Shudikatam Tanuvan Manobhi Jide Prayaso Jita Jito Pyasitais Chalokya. Don't take sannyas, not necessary. Stane Stito, just stay put. And instead, Tanuvan Manobhi, use all your resources, all your equipment and opportunity to Namanta Eva, to glorify the Supreme Lord. Satatan Kirtayanto Mam. Our aim is different. We're not trying to speculate to understand the Supreme. We're engaged in devotional service, Yukta Vairagya, with heart and soul, trying to please Krishna only, because by pleasing Krishna, the material energy retreats. It becomes as small as the water contained in the hoofprint of a calf. So the devotees, to handle lust, they employ the Grihastha Ashram and engage in the Grihastha Ashram, which is a wonderful aspect of Vanashram Dharma, Daivi Vanashram Dharma, to engage in devotional service. That is Dhane Stito, stay put. Wherever you are, it's okay. Stay there. Generally, that's not a problem. We don't have people, not one of the problems here in New Ramaneti that we have to constantly stop people from taking sannyas. So staying put is generally not the problem. The difficulty may be that because we have to comply to some degree with material society, which has a powerful grip over people, the difficulty may be to engage constantly in devotional service, to associate only with devotees. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given the formula, Jare deke tari kaha Krishna upadesha maragyai guru tarahana hayai desh. Where, it's very simple, and everybody can do this. Wherever you go, whoever you meet, you instruct them about Krishna consciousness, as it's given in the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. In this way, you're a guru, and you try to liberate everyone in your land. And he says, next verse, he says, Kabu Nava Dibe Tomar Bishaya Taranga. He says, he's instructing, see, he was instructing someone who wanted to follow him, traveling and take and renounce. He's saying to the Kurma Brahman, stay put, stay in your place. And if you do this, Kabu Nava Dibe Tomar Bishaya Taranga, if you do this, then your materialistic situation, the ashram, griha ashram, grihastha ashram, is, we're dealing with matter. We're spiritualizing matter. So it is, I mean, it's underkupam, you know, without Krishna consciousness, it's an underkupam, it's a blind well. You take the family members as your eternal relations, and you forget about your real duty of developing a relationship with Krishna. But if you do this, Jai Deki Tarikaha Krishna Upadesh, everyone you meet, wherever you go, you try to instruct them about Krishna consciousness. Then your materialistic situation, according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, will not inhibit your progress. It will not slow your progress in Krishna consciousness. So Krishna consciousness is the only system which the only Vedic system of self-realization which utilizes, accepts the Grihastha ashram. Other systems you have to give it up. But we have a formula which spiritualizes it. So, Hanan Teshamaham Samudharta Mityu Samsara Sagara. Then Krishna, for the preacher and the devotee, becomes the swift deliverer. He's the swift deliverer. It doesn't have to take Shatavatsara Pragamya. It doesn't have to take hundreds and thousands of births. We take up the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Krishna becomes the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. So, if there's any discussion. Yes, Charles Prabhu. Don't ask me what I think of Independence Day, because from the British point of view, we are not amused. Do they still play cricket? Well, there you have it. Well, it's better to stay a colony, if you ask me. Okay.
All right. Now, my question was about Mayavadi philosophy. I mean, what is the relevance of it to we in the West? Is it some sort of metaphor for our own philosophy? I mean, is this why it's a...
What's the relevance of what?
Mayavadi philosophy.
Yeah, you said, what is the relevance of what?
The relevance of it to we in the West.
Yeah.
And is it a metaphor for our own philosophy, or is that the significance of it?
Yeah. The relevance is that Mayavada philosophy has destroyed religion, and it's been replaced with the whole gamut of material society, from scientists to, you know, bogus philosophers, bogus gurus, out and out sense gratification. This is the significance, because Mayavada philosophy states that neither the object of worship nor the worshipper is real. So where is the question of surrender? How are you going to... Who are you? You're not something significant to surrender anyway. And the object or person to whom you're surrendering is ultimately just a vehicle, a ladder for you to climb up and kick away. So spiritual life's hard enough, but if you have that philosophy, you know, how are you going to be lifelong committed and serve and surrender? So this is the pernicious nature of the philosophy of Shankaracharya, that he has destroyed religion. And the Vaishnavacharyas have come to re-establish the principles of religion, which is what Krishna does. And the real human civilization will be rejuvenated by the movement and philosophy, the theology of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the six Goswamis and their followers.
I've got a follow-up on that. I mean, if this is so important and so relevant, then, I mean, is there a book that, say, or a study that specifically goes into this what you basically just said? I mean, it's just enough for a whole book, right?
Yeah.
Specifically.
It would make a very interesting book.
You're saying it doesn't exist? No one's done this?
Are you sure?
Well, I'm not aware of it. I mean,
But
in terms of the specific, such that the Westerner can actually understand the cause of our own problems.
Yeah. No, books do exist. There are parts of Prabhupada's books. Chapter 7 of Adiyudha Chaitanya Charitamrita. Also, Srila Prabhupada's sannyas guru, Keshav Maharaj, has written a book called Vaishnav Toshani or something, which is 100 refutations of Mayavada philosophy. And in there he very clearly points out how it's not something, some insignificant philosophical line in the Far East, in India, it's something which has spread all over the world in a covered form. Its effects have been felt. Spread all over the world, and if you question anybody, you'll find out that their understanding of life is basically impersonal. All philosophical systems, and nobody knows what is the substance of the absolute truth. Nobody knows what that spirit. I had this incredible argument once with a Jewish man, about how spirit, he said spirit means formless. If it's unlimited, how can it have form? That was his argument. And I was trying to establish that within spirit, it may be inconceivable to us. It may be beyond our logic, but within spirit, there is form. And this is the contribution of the Krishna conscious movement. The nature of spirit, and that there is a full world of individuals engaged in all full activities of variety in the spiritual world. Nobody knows this. And by distributing Prabhupada's books, by distributing Krishna consciousness, this knowledge is required. It's the only thing which is strong enough to bring down a materialistic civilization. This impersonal, wishy-washy, sentimental stuff will not do the trick. Yes?
Prabhu, thanks for a nice class. I was just wondering, you started the talk about lust being the attraction between male and female and how, you know. So I'm wondering, so now in the present age we're seeing so much same-sex marriage discussion. Same-sex marriage.
Can you hold discussion. The mic a bit closer?
Same-sex marriage discussion. We're hearing so much about it.
I can't hear the wrong thing.
Homosexual.
What sex?
There was some ruling in the courts just recently.
Yeah.
About same-sex marriages.
Oh yeah. Uh-huh.
So I'm wondering how that fits in, and can you have some discussion about that, please?
If it's in, there's no whether it doesn't make any difference to anything. You same sexuality is not same sexuality. It's still between Purusha and Prakriti. The one they may appear to be of the same gender. They may appear to be of the same gender, but one is taking the position of female and one is taking the psychology of male. So it's not any different. The point is that lust should not be indulged. It has to be converted back to love for Krishna. So if, say, someone takes birth and has that inclination of attraction to, apparently, to the same gender, there's no difference, there's no change. We don't have anything extra to say to them, except you are not this body. Kindly take up Krishna consciousness and turn your lust, which will force you to take birth again, into love for Krishna. Yes, Mataji, you had something? Please speak clearly, because my hearing is not getting any better with the decades.
So mine also goes back to the beginning of class when you were talking about if you have love, it's for Krishna, and then you'll also see Krishna in every living entity and love them.
Yeah.
And that all makes perfect sense. My question is, it appears that the young gopis, they weren't so interested in their husbands, so-called husbands. They weren't interested in their mothers-in-law. They were interested in the trees and creepers if they could give them information about Krishna. They weren't even interested in the four-handed Narayan.
Yeah.
So
it's a full circle. But the thing is that they've passed through this understanding already. And we quoted this verse from Skanda Purana, that in their previous lives they had full transcendental knowledge. But we know that as a result of transcendental, like the sages who saw Lord Ramchandra and they developed the conjugal urge. So it's a higher, and the conjugal urge means that there's some yoga maya, there's some covering to enhance the pastimes. the fact that their husbands are envious, this enhances the pastimes. So they're shunning their husbands, that will be part of Yoga Maya, conducive to Krishna's pastimes. Anything else?
It's too late. I was going to say some things, but it's too late. Just briefly, well, first of all, in relation to... Okay. Anyway, it's too late now to start another discussion. Just in regards to relationships and affection and the difference between love and lust, in the Mayavadi philosophy, one has inadvertently created a situation, since there is no personal God and there's no place to serve, there's no one to serve, and there's no consequence for material existence. So there's a permission to enjoy oneself or to see oneself as the center, as the ultimate personality of Godhead. Mm. And, you know, maybe there's no personality, okay? So the ultimate Godhead, I'm going to disappear, I'm going to become one with God. Yeah. And that thought of being God or being one with God is catastrophic in terms of one's spiritual advancement. Because if you don't have a place to repose the natural inclination to serve and the natural inclination to affection, then what are you going to do with it? And then, so simultaneously, you're closing the door to spiritual affection and opening the door to permission for material enjoyment, and the two things together are the death knell for any chance of going back to God, you know, achieving spiritual success.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you. I think we need to finish now, really. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.